Blog Talk Radio.
Whoa. Why y'all so happy?
You don't know. Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated,
excited,
and influenced.
Why?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia. And now, here to motivate, excite, and influence you, Charvette Mitchell.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. I am your lovely, stunning, and magnificent host, Charvette Mitchell. So glad to be broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, right here on Blog Talk Radio and on Stella Award-winning iShoutForJoy.com. Excited to have all of our listeners tuning in from all across the World Wide Web. Listen, we appreciate you. We know your time is money. Hey, the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show is on air every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you know we bring you phenomenal shows and wonderful guests, and we're just excited because we want to let you know about upcoming shows and also give you a way to listen to past shows. Yeah, you can listen to past shows. That's the wonderful thing about the internet. Don't you just love the internet? Anyway, go to my official website, which is www.mitchell-productions.com. Again, that's www.mitchell-productions.com. You can join my email list. You can click on the radio page, listen to fast shows, and all that good stuff. Oh, connect with me on Facebook, facebook.com/Charvette. Real easy for you. And connect with me on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Charvette. Really easy for you to do that. Oh, and you can also pick me up in iTunes. That's right. You can have the show downloaded to your iPod for free, and all you have to do is go to the iTunes store and put in Charvette. Yes, modern technology. I mean, it is the way to go. So today's show, the topic is living single, and our living single topic is usually one of our hottest shows. Big shout out to those that are visiting and joining us in the chat room. We say hello, thank you. And for those that are listening on the phone lines, we say hello to you too as well. So today's show, we're going to be talking at the beginning of the show with a couple people about some topics about living single. Yes, and I have in the virtual studio with me right now the lovely and wonderful Joy Turner. She's the author, a workshop leader, a musician, and she is just phenomenal. She's hanging out with me. And then I also will have artist Kenny Wesley. He's going to be joining us, phenomenal guy. And then a little bit later in the show, we'll be talking with Elder Justin Moore. So they're going to talk to us in our Living Single segment. And then the second half of the show, I'm going to be talking to the author of Don't Bring Home a White Boy. Oh, I know, right? Y'all already twisted with that title. I know. Don't Bring Home a White Boy. We're going to get you untwisted. The author is Karen Langhorne Folan, and she just released this book today. She was actually on Tom Joyner morning show this morning. She'll be joining us to talk about that topic. So I think that is just awesome. So you know what? I'm going to bring Joy on. Joy, welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
Hi, Charvette. How are you? It's wonderful to be here.
We are so glad to have you as one of the panelists in our wrap session discussion.
Yes.
And Joy, yeah, you have started a workshop. And tell us a little bit about the workshop you started, kind of in this same topic.
Absolutely. Actually, the title of my workshop is Living Victoriously as a Single Mom. So basically, I'm coming from that vantage point, being a single mother myself. So the workshop will be one of several. So I'm planning some wonderful, exciting things. The first workshop is going to be this Saturday in Baltimore, which is February the 6th, from 10 to 2 p.m. So I'm really excited about that, Charvette. It's just
cool.
An opportunity to empower, inspire, and encourage my single moms, because we have a lot of different needs, unique, you know, to being a single parent, and,
yeah,
and not to exclude anyone, but I thought it was necessary to kind of pull that out and just have that. I'm also an author, a contributing author to a project called Victorious Living for Women, and you had some of the wonderful authors, some of my sisters, who contributed to that project, you had on your show as well. So my chapter was actually exclusively an ode to single mothers. So it really started with that chapter, and I just branched off from there. So I'm really excited about Living Victoriously as a Single Mom workshop coming up.
All right. Phenomenal, phenomenal. How can people connect with you online?
They can connect with me on Facebook. I am on Facebook under my full name, which is Joy Elizabeth Turner. I'm also on Twitter, and they can visit my website at www.joyturner.net. Again, it's www.joyturner.net. And there they can also pull up the flyer for the actual workshop.
Okay.
They can find all of my contact information, my number, my email address by pulling up that website.
Okay, I love it, I love it, I love it. And Joy, I believe we have some other guests in the virtual studio. So let me check out the studio and see who we have from area code 240. Who do we have joining us?
Kenny Wesley. How are you, Charvette?
Hi, Kenny. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the panel discussion about living single. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. How are you?
I am doing great, and I'm just glad to have you. Ladies and gentlemen, again, we have on the line with us artist Kenny Wesley. Oh, sings like Luther Vandross and, oh, my goodness, Stevie Wonder, and just a young new face of contemporary and jazz music. Some of his songs have been featured on a host of worldwide media outlets like ABC, The View, and all that good stuff. And we're glad to have him on the panel of Living Single. So welcome, Kenny.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right, all right. And we may have actually a question already from the audience. Let me check. Let's see here. Caller ending in 9688, do you have a question for the panel? All right, maybe they're just listening out right now. No problem. Okay, are y'all ready to go ahead and, like, jump right on in? Because this topic is, like, really, really, really always interactive. Let me see what I want to ask you all. You know what? I was having this conversation with some friends the other day, and we were talking about committed relationships. So I want to know from you all, can a dating relationship be considered a committed relationship, or only married couples in a committed relationship? Joy, what do you think?
Well, you know what? I just I had this conversation as well, and I think the answer is yes. I think that dating relationships can be committed. It depends on the minds and the hearts of the people in the relationship. If you are marriage-minded individuals, you can certainly, you would want to have a committed relationship. But when it comes down to it, in the sight of God, marriage is the committed relationship. So I guess it would be called intention of having a committed relationship.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, so I think yes. I absolutely, I think so.
Okay, great. And so, Kenny, what do you say? Can our dating relationships, can they be a committed relationship, or is it just marriage?
I agree with her. I think that it kind of boils down to how to define the word dating. I know some people consider dating as you're in the process of, you have like a checklist that you're trying to see if this person that you're with has certain qualities, personality-wise or what have you, you would be looking for a long-term relationship. And then some people look at it as, like, not necessarily a buffet. That's a really bad analogy, but that's the first thing that came to mind. But you're just kind of just testing the waters and just asking a lot of questions and putting feelers out there. So it can definitely lead to a long-term relationship. Depends on what your intention is.
Okay, cool. So that intention seems like a common theme between you all. Okay, so I was listening to another show on this station the other day. Big shout out to Ms. Optimism, and she did a whole entire show on this one question. When does flirting turn into cheating? When does flirting turn in? I mean, she did a whole entire show on this. I just want to ask you all that one question.
I think from the very first flirt.
Oh, okay. So let's set this up for the audience. So, you know, single, we're dating, you may be dating exclusively. And so you're saying if you're dating someone exclusively, and but you're flirting, that's really cheating. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because that means you're giving them the impression that you're interested in them. So if you're giving someone that impression, that means that you're fair game to them in their eyes. So it can definitely...
Okay, I hear you. All right. Yes, we got you. We got you. We're still here.
Sister Chavez?
Yes.
This is Elder Moore. I think that it's such a dangerous, dangerous place to be when you flirt and when you allow somebody to get the intention that you can, that you're trying to approach them. I think that it's a dangerous space, So it's never, I don't think it's ever appropriate. And I think it always crosses that line of cheating when you do that.
Oh, and I'm glad you joined us. You snuck into the studio. I didn't even know you came here.
I was here all along.
You were okay. I'm sorry. That was my fault.
All right. I'm enjoying the conversation.
Oh, great. Okay, so listeners, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We have on the line artist Kenny Wesley. Kenny is there. We've got Elder Justin Moore. You have heard him in the past. He's been on all the Living Single shows and other relationship shows. He's my reoccurring guest, if you will, and then also the lovely author, musician, workshop facilitator, Joy Turner. So we've got the studio is full. Okay, great. But flirting, I think men define flirting differently than women define flirting. Would you all disagree or agree with that? Joanne,
That's an interesting question. I'm still back on the first one. I definitely agree with the gentleman. And it really has to do with the intentions of the heart. And to be honest with you, that varies from woman to woman and man to man. That's going to vary, the intentions of a person's heart. Some people call it harmless flirting, but I think one of the gentlemen on the line said that it's dangerous either way. You know, it's a little leaven is the whole lump.
All right.
And it actually starts with the intention of your heart. If you call yourself in a committed relationship and you are flirting, you have now opened the door to other parts of possibilities, whether it started off harmless or not. You know, a lot of infidelity starts with a harmless wink, a harmless
flirt. You preach
it. So that's my take on it.
All right. I like it. Anyone, the gentleman, you want to comment on whether men see flirting differently than women see flirting?
Well,
yeah.
I use that term. Very tightly is that dangerous, but I do think because there is a difference in perspective sometimes, and I think a lot of times men who are supposedly off the market somehow have this thing going on, and I don't want to use their. I'll say our, but that doesn't include me. I'm just being, I'm just being nice.
Right.
That we have this thing to say. You know, I wonder if I still have it. You know, even though I don't mean anything by it, I just want to see if, you know, I can still, make a woman, you know, wink at me or still make her respond to what I'm, you know, what any type of flirting that I may be doing with her. And then, you know, which leads to a whole other problem that you lead maybe a woman on and she's thinking that you're interested in her. And, you know, you're supposedly off the market. And now, you know, you've snowballed something into something that you just wanted to see if you still had it. So I think that there are a lot of situations that, you know, it could be viewed differently, you know, men versus women. I think so.
Ooh, all right.
That's true. I definitely agree with him on that, especially with the whole thing about it really hinging off of insecurity. You know, where you need your ego stroked at the expense of someone else's emotions.
Yeah. All right. I like it. Let's keep it moving. Okay, so the next thing I want to talk about, there was a special, and I tried to look it up, so forgive me. It was either MSNBC or CNN or one of them. Anyway, they did the show on African-American women, single, independent, you know, got it going on. All of the girls were gorgeous, but yet manless. So this is something that we've seen on the media, we've seen in, you know, newspapers and on the internet and everything, that there's this huge supply of African-American women who are independent, who have it going on, but yet they are single. First, I want to know what you all think about that. And number two, I want to know why, you know, we don't hear that from any other nationality. I have never heard or seen an article about all of these Caucasian ladies who are independent, well, you know, ready, got it going on, and they don't have a man. Why is there a stigma, it seems like, with African-American women and they're the independent woman and got it going on, but she can't find a man? Why is that notion even out there in the atmosphere? Joy, let's, you know, you take a stab at that first.
Well, you know what? And I knew you were going to put me on first, and I'm glad you did that. I actually wrote an article, Charvette, and I wanted to submit it to Essence. It's actually called Too Strong, Too Independent, Is There Such a Thing? And the reason I wrote the article was because of a conversation I had with one of my best friends. She was speaking to a gentleman, and they just were just in casual conversation, and he pretty much took her boldness, I guess, or her strength, and he pretty much alluded to the idea that she was possibly a lesbian. And, of course, me and my friend, we talked about that, and we had a pretty in-depth conversation about that. But I think that, and I speak from two different perspectives, number one being single and number two being a single parent.
Yeah.
I think that in many other nationalities and cultures, it's still very much a scarlet letter to be by yourself, especially at a certain age. And I think that it is not, I'm going to say acceptable. It's not something that is can be seen as something to be proud of, whereas in our culture, we pretty much roll with the punches, and I think it goes back to our ancestors. We do what we have to do. Now, the problem is, and part of what I alluded to in my article, is how our attitudes are towards our male counterparts. Are we... do we carry it like we have a chip on our shoulder because we have to be strong, because we have to be independent? And that was pretty much a question that I reflected on in the article, because as a single mother, I do not always want to be a single mother, but right now I'm going to be content right where I am, which is which is my first book title. I'm going to do what God has allowed me to do with what I have right now in this season. It's not slighting my male counterparts, but it is what it is. So as to answer that question, I think that it is seen more so in our culture, because we are in a position where we are independent. Not so much, some of the women you talk to may say, hey, I'm single, I'm fine with that, I don't want a man or need a man. But others that you talk to will say, yes, I'm independent, I'm single, but I'm waiting for the right one.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Joy. And Kenny, what do you say about this notion of, you know, the single independent Black woman?
I really appreciate her perspective. It actually opened my eyes to a different aspect of that, the whole scenario. I feel that there are a lot of different factors involved in that. You have a lot more women getting college education.
Okay.
So there's almost an inequality within certain social strata within the Black community. So certain places where women of a certain social level would hang out or be, there may not be really any men there, even in the church. There are more women in church now than men in many cases. So that's one reason. And then you have a lot of men that are in jail. So all of these things kind of add to the load that women have been carrying. And for some of them, it may have resulted in bitterness, like she was alluding to. So that all makes male-female communication in the black community all the more difficult, to the point where a relationship can get established because there's so many barriers in the way.
Wow. Well said, well said. And Elder Moore, I'm going to let you throw your comments in as well.
I'll make it brief. Those were so potent. I feel first of all that I think that in terms of the strong, independent, got it going on, black women, I think that they have always, been there. If you really look at the two main strengths of the black community, you look at the church and our women. And
right.
I think the world is just becoming exposed to the actual strength of our women. And I think it's almost like, especially black men, we've always known this but not really given them the credit that they deserve. So I think that, the black woman is saying, listen, I'm strong, I'm independent,
mm-hmm.
I got it going on. I have an education, I have a good job, I have, integrity, character, all of these traits that have been there all along, but now they're becoming more exposed, and I think that to a degree that they're calling out the brothers saying, hey, I got all this, you gotta come to the table with something also. And
mm-hmm.
I think it has frightened to a degree some brothers to say, wait a minute, I've been slipping and sliding and, coming to have cops so long
uh-huh,
that,
dipping and dodging.
These women are, they're coming to the table with something that, we can't come to the table like we've been coming, for the past 50, 40 years, just coming
right.
any kind of way. And I think that they're really calling our bluff on a lot of, particular issues. And they're saying, listen, I'd rather settle for being single than to settle for being with something that's less than the least or that's coming to the table with nothing. Now, I don't subscribe to the idea that, we all have to be way up in some other stratosphere to cohabitate or whatever or to be married in a relationship, but you ought to be coming to the table with something. And I think that one of the reasons is that they've called our bluff on a lot of issues and perspectives that have called them to say, all right, I'd rather be single than to be with some half-cocked brother that, I'm going to wash up, maybe divorcing or whether not in a relationship anyway because he was not all that he was cracked up to be.
Woo! And somebody from the chat room said, speak on it, Elder. That ain't nothing but the truth. Again, welcome to those in the chat room. Big shout out to YJ from the chat room. They let me know that was a Dateline special, ABC Dateline special. So thank you very much for helping a sister out. Oh, we are out of time. We are like completely out of time. Oh my goodness, this went by so fast. The reason why I asked that last question there was because we are going to be talking to in our second segment the author of a book called Don't Bring Home a White Boy. That is right,
Lord.
Listeners. I know y'all are like, what are they talking about? Yes, they have the lovely Karen Langhorn Follin, who is in the virtual studio. We're going to be talking to her. Again, a new book just released, Don't Bring Home a White Boy, and the subtitle is And Other Notions That Keep Black Women from Dating Out.
Right.
So maybe we have some other options that we have not considered. Oh, my goodness. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, in my living single segment. I've been talking to the lovely Joy Turner, the dashing Elder Justin Moore, and the debonair Kenny Wesley. Kenny, tell us a little bit about your projects that you're working on, your music project.
This will be my second music project. It's called All in a Week, and it's music for the soul. It's inspirational messages about life, about God, about relationships, and it will be released sometime this summer. It's we're getting everything processed and mastered now.
Great. I love the current project that you have out. You have one called I'm Sorry, and that's really nice. That's really,
Thank you.
Great music. And how can people connect with you online?
Go to KennyWesley.com, MySpace.com/KennyWesley. You can find me on Facebook, YouTube. Just put in my name and a whole lot of stuff will pop up.
All right, just Google him. Okay. All right, I'm telling you what, we've got to go. I have one last thing. I was on an internet blog the other day, and this was funny to me. This was a 28-year-old male from Georgia, and he says, who should pay on a first date?
Uh-oh.
Is it rude to ask to go Dutch depending on how you met the person? And he puts IE online. So he's saying if you met them online, is it rude to ask them to go Dutch? Elder Moore, what do you say?
Wow, that was very nice of you. The first person. You know what? I honestly, and I know it's going to sound very, very, I know the typical politically correct answer is for the other to pay. And I do agree with that. But
uh-huh.
I think we have evolved into another time period where, you know, go back to this last question, this single independent, got it going on, sisters. I really think it makes a statement. Now, if you ask the sister out, now I'm not going to say, look, when you get to the table, you say, look, you know, I left my wallet home. I only got enough for me. So, you know, we take care of you. That's fine.
Right.
That's fine. But, you know, on the turn, if you ask her out, absolutely you should pay. But, you know, on different terms, I don't think it's completely and utterly rude to agree on terms of going Dutch. And I think some sisters, I don't want to speak for them, appreciate
uh-huh.
the fact that, you know, they can say, you know, I took care of this. You don't have, you know, you're not expecting anything from me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't think it's across the board rude to go Dutch. But I think if you ask the sister out, you need to pay for it.
All right. That is well said. Thank you. I got to give y'all a big hand. Thank you. Again, you just heard from our lovely panel, Joy Turner, Elder Justin B. Moore, and artist Kenny Wesley. I'm going to have you all back, and we'll talk some more. And you all have a great afternoon, evening, and we're going to go roll into our second segment, all right?
Take care. Thank you for having me.
All right, listeners, you don't move. We're going to a commercial break. We'll be right back.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this. Industry Buzz with 3Gs.com. Join in today on the movement to bring integrity back to media. With one click of a button, you can disseminate your information right from Industry Buzz to all your favorite social sites like Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, and to your email contact. Maximize your vision today. Plus, get the latest news, entertainment, and media. Need fashion or makeup tips? Looking for a job? Connect with us today. Want to connect with other business visionaries? Connect with us today. This site is for everyone, from teens to music lovers, from businessmen and women to industry professionals and performers. As a member of Industry Buzz with 3Z, you'll gain help promoting your vision. Industry Buzz with 3Zs will expose, expand, and keep your fan base up to date with all your happening. Members also receive free or discounted perks from various sponsored companies. So join the social network, expand, and stabilize your business. Connect with like-minded individuals. Need an artist to minister at your upcoming event? Look on Industry Buzz. Have a voice and submit your article to our e-magazine. Industry Buzz with 3Zs is the place to globalize your vision. Establish it today. Be heard. It's all on IndustryBuzzWith3Zs.com.
The professional black woman, where women are serious about success. We're professionals and experts in our field, and we value networking and relationships. So join us at theprofessionalblackwoman.com, where success is inevitable.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell.
Charvette Mitchell.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, and we're in our segment called Living Single, and I have my special guest author in the virtual studio right now, brand new book called Don't Bring Home a White Boy, and we're going to get to talk to this dynamic young lady. I'm bringing her on the line right now. Karen, are you there?
I am indeed, Charvette.
Oh, well, we're so glad to have you, Karen Folan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here tonight.
Well, congratulations on the release, because this is the release date today. Is that correct?
Yeah, today is my birthday, so to speak.
Oh,
it's No, it's not my actual birthday, but it's the birthday for this project that I've been working on for, over a year. So it's the birthday of Don't Bring Home a White Boy, and that's what I mean by that.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Well, you have to tell our listeners how you even came up with the concept for this book.
Well, I am in an interracial marriage. I have been married to my husband now for 4 or 5 years, and I noticed that we got all kinds of reactions from people when we first became a couple, especially from some of my Black female friends who expressed both curiosity and a certain level of discomfort with the idea. And some of them had even told me stories about how they had, you know, been approached by white men, gone on a date or two with a white guy, but they just felt like for one reason or another, they couldn't pull the trigger on it. It just couldn't possibly go forward. And unfortunately, some of these ladies are still single, and they are the women that you were talking about in the prior segment. They have it going on. They're smart. They're well-educated. They have good jobs. They have their own homes. And what they want to complete their life was and is a partner to share it with. Yes. And unfortunately, because they will not consider partners from other ethnic backgrounds, they're still single, they're still looking, and they're complaining. Because and one of the gentlemen, I was listening early, I don't know who was saying this, but someone was saying that you know, the sisters have had it going on, and we have had it going on for some time. Yeah. And guys need to step up. Black men really do need to step up. That's a big problem we're going to have to deal with. But we also have another kind of problem going on, because fully 15% of Black men are marrying interracially or outside of the race, compared to less than 5%, really the figure is between 3 and 4% of Black women. So that's 1 out of 6 married Black men is married to a non-Black woman.
Wow.
Which makes these odds for us as Black women even worse. They're already, some experts say in major cities, that educated Black women outnumber educated Black men 6 to 1, and in some places it's 10 to 1.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a problem. We got a problem.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know what? When I saw the title to the book, I sat down and I started thinking about friends that I have that are guys, African-American friends, males that are friends. And I would say, just from my own personal assessment, and I've asked them before, I would say about 85% of them have at least dated someone that was not an African-American woman. But if I look at my girlfriends, my good girlfriends, and in the circle of African-American women that I know, I would say 90% never have had any kind of dating relationship with someone outside of their race. So it's striking that men, the Black men, have, you know, decided to broaden their horizons. So what is hindering African-American women, in your opinion?
I think it's a number of factors. I think we have proved our loyalty. And we are loyal. We're very loyal to our Black men. And we have, I think, time and time again kind of been willing to swallow our resentment, so to speak, and and just stay with the program in the belief that supporting Black men would ultimately prosper the entire Black community, and that eventually we would get recognized for that support and get the treatment that we deserve for that support. I think what's happening now is women are beginning to realize that, you know, it's been 50 years and the support doesn't, the return doesn't seem to be coming yet. And if anything, we seem to be experiencing more disrespect in some cases instead of less. And this gap is not narrowing because, you know, the guys kind of have it the way they want it right now, particularly the ones who do have a little something going on. If you think about it, a guy who is reasonably well-educated and has a decent job and has his own home and car, if he's got 6 to 10 women chasing after him, he's got a harem. This is a great situation for him.
Absolutely.
We are the carriers of our culture, and I think that's at bottom, that's a lot of the resistance for Black women, is that we feel like we carry the weight of what our great-great-grandmothers went through. We carry the responsibility for the next generation, and we want to continue to honor both heritage and to provide a history for our children. That I think women worry, will I dilute that? Will I lose something of my Black identity? Will I dishonor my ancestors? And those are all notions that I spent a good deal of time talking about in the book, trying to get women to reframe them slightly. Because I really don't believe that we can dishonor our great-grandmothers. Everything
right.
that we have accomplished is in tribute to them. And those women who react to slavery and the oppression and the sexual violence of that time have to also understand that that's a gender issue.
Yeah.
Right now, there are black men who are perpetrating the same kinds of crimes with abandon on black girls and women, and we know this. It's
wow.
something that we don't even like to talk about,
right.
but it's true. Whereas, you know, 150 years ago, 200 years ago, white men have that power. Right now, black men do. And if you look at, like, rape statistics and sexual violence and incest statistics, it's black-on-black crime. It's not white-on-black crime. So
yeah.
to be fixated on white-on-black crime from 200 years ago and ignore what's happening within our own communities today is really dangerous and silly, especially since we have the power now to say, this is unacceptable. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I want to support the community. I want to support black men, but I cannot support this conduct. This can't
mm-hmm.
go on. There are good men and bad men of every race. And that's
yeah.
really what we have to think about. We have to start looking at men not with an automatic, ooh, white bad.
Right.
And then the response, the reaction, the counterpoint to that would be black good, which isn't always true either, and we know that.
Yes.
We have to look at a man and, to paraphrase Dr. King, say to ourselves, what is the content of his character? Is he a decent guy? Is he a good guy? Is he good to me? Does he make me laugh? Does he have the things that I value that
right.
I think would give us a shot and make us compatible? And if he does, move to the next step. I'm not saying marry him. I'm certainly
right.
not saying sleep with him. Not that soon.
Right.
But certainly be willing to let him take you out for a drink or for lunch or for dinner. And if you have a good time, go out with him again. It cannot possibly hurt to find out what a man is about.
Right.
And you never know. Mr.
Never
Wright
know.
Might be white. He might be.
All right. Did y'all hear that, listeners? Mr. Wright might be white. What do you say to a listener that says, well, I just prefer black men? That's just my preference.
I understand. And we all have preferences. We all have preferences. I mean, men have preferences. Women, everybody has preferences. And,
right.
and I get that. I would ask a listener who was thinking that what that preference is based on.
Okay.
And actually, I think some of our preferences are based on, again, a kind of cultural programming that we could stand to analyze a little bit more deeply rather
mm-hmm.
than just immediately saying that's my preference. It's funny because I had lunch with a white woman who's a friend of mine over the weekend, and
mm-hmm.
she's very tall. She's 6'1". And
yeah.
she's single, and she's in her 40s, and she's tired of being single. And I said to her, what about short guys?
Ah, okay.
You know, it's the same
uh-huh.
thing. It's like
yeah.
we let these very superficial things a lot of the time dictate our preferences. And I would just, you know, I'd be happy for a woman who wants a black man to find a black man who loves her and treats her well. I am not saying, you know, black bad, let's all get ourselves a white guy. That is
right.
not the point. The point is, where does your preference come from? And what are the things that make up that preference? Are they really qualities, or are they just appearances? And if they're just physical appearances, then I really think those are things that we can work with and learn to think of differently. And that is indeed one of the notions in the book, is that, you know, lots of black women will say, well, I'll never date white because I just don't find white men attractive.
Right.
One woman said, and I think she's not the only one, because I have been asked this question, and many of the black women who are married to white men whom I interviewed for the book had been asked this question. One of them said, ooh, pink junk. I just couldn't get with that. Okay. I mean, if you think about that, it's sort of like, I mean, some of these preferences really
right.
are tied into stereotypes that aren't true and can be dangerous and are silly and easily refutable. And believe it or not, in the process of researching this book, I actually got to confront the penis size stuff. There are actual studies about this. It shocked me to know it.
It shocked you to know it.
Because,
that is a big stereotype, yeah.
It is, and it's a stereotype, and sorry, you know, I love my brothers, but it's just not true. Anybody who thinks it is has been watching too much porn, so I'm going to call everybody out on that one. If you're watching too much really bad TV, stop that.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are getting it live in living color here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Karen, while our listeners are listening, give us your web address so they can go ahead and check you out where they're listening.
Absolutely. I'm at Karen, that's K-R-Y-N, Langhorne, L-A-N-G-H-O-R-N-E, Folan, F-O-L-A-N, .com. And the book is Don't Bring Home a White Boy and Other Notions to Keep Black Women from Dating Out. And you should be able to find it everywhere today.
Yes.
Amazon, on BarnesandNoble.com, your favorite bookstore, just about any place.
Oh, my goodness. I am telling you, do you think the media has played a role in this? Do you think the media?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I mean, one of the notions certainly is that, you know, white men don't find us attractive. And I've heard plenty of women will say things like, you know, oh, they're not interested in us and so on and so forth. And I think some of that plays into the various images of black women that get a lot of airtime.
Yeah.
And I think those images are also the reason that black men and black women have so much trouble with each other, is that the images that we get of each other from our very pervasive media are really based in racism and just wrong. So media plays a huge role here. I mean, I was listening earlier, as I said to you, and the whole too strong, too independent thing really resonated with me. And it was something that I also spent some time talking about because, you know, there are white men and men of other races out there who the only thing they know about black women is they've seen so many images of us swishing our fingers in somebody's face and rolling
right.
our neck. And that's a put-off. I mean, no guy wants a problematic woman or a difficult woman who's going to make his life more unhappy. And black men buy that, too.
Right.
When you know, and I know, and every woman listening to the sound of my voice knows that that might be a tiny sliver of some of our personalities,
right.
but that person is not real. That person is a media creation that started in Reconstruction as a way to marginalize black women as a part of white supremacy. And so, I mean, that... For women to adopt that as a part of their natural behavior, to me, is a problem, and it's something that needs to be reexamined. So if anyone is out there trying to play that character, stop it.
Because it takes too much energy.
It's too much energy. It's not good for you, and it's not the real you. It's just not. It's not. And you know, the strong black woman thing makes us seem less vulnerable. It makes us seem like we don't want men.
Right.
And those
and
images,
that
again,
be further from the truth. That is,
and that couldn't be further from the truth.
Right.
Exactly, exactly. So those images, you know, that I think the only way we really change that, and it's just going to take time, is for there to be more images that counter those stereotypes, and for us all to try our best, no matter how angry that we might get in some social situations or in stores or whatever, to keep that part of ourselves from overtaking and affirming that that's how we are, because it's not how we are. It's a big fat lie. It's not how we are.
I love it. I love it. Terrific. Terrific. Do you think that interracial dating for black women is a movement or a trend? What do you think?
I hope and I believe that it's a movement, because I really feel like we're in market failure. I think we're at the place where within our own community, there are too many of us. There are, even if every black man and every black woman in America right now got married to each other, there would be 1.8 million women left over.
Wow.
There are too many of us. We outnumber our men by a substantial number. And I believe that the only way to cure that is for us to find a new market that appreciates us and wants us. Only, according to current statistics, only about 3-4% of white American men marry outside their race. But that there's so much, there's so many more of them. That's still 4 million.
Wow.
So I think that if this isn't a movement, it should be, in recognition of the fact that, you know, we've got to find in order to increase our value on the marriage marketplace, we've got to find a new market. And I think we need to let white men and men of other races know that, you know, we're not what you think we are. We're more than that. And that we're great partners and, you know, we're available and we're interested and we're willing to consider them seriously. We're going to open our hearts a little bit to you, but we're going to be cautious, but we're going to open our hearts a little bit to you and see what can happen. And I know from my own experience, Charvette, that, you know, my husband is Irish-American. His parents immigrated from Ireland in the 40s. He grew up in Boston in the Irish section. He's a Southie Irishman. But since he's been married to me, he has a whole new perspective on race relations, on civil rights, on what it means to be almost a second-class citizen in your own land. Because he's had a chance to see some things that this woman that he loves and respects and some of the things that we go through or that happened to me, and then he walks up and people realize that I'm with him and it's a whole other story.
Wow.
And he's seen it now. So he's converted. He gets it in a way that white Americans don't understand until they have, they can never really walk in our shoes, but when they have experiences that show them the difference, it's like, oh, wow, we have to do something about this.
The light bulb goes off.
The light bulb goes on.
Yes. I got to tell you, one of my connections on Facebook, when I put the link out about the show, this gentleman, Victor Estrada, said, knowing that we are all God's people, knowing his love and I'm from Brazil. I refuse to let color hinder me in any way, shape, or form. So I thought that was a great note. And it sounds like your book, Don't Bring Home a White Boy, is something you're just saying, broaden your heart, open your perspective, and take a little bit of a chance. And
take a little bit of a chance.
Yeah, I love it. I love
Explore new men in 2010.
Oh, listen, say that again.
Explore new men in 2010 or explore the rainbow of men in 2010 is really what we want to encourage.
I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, you have had a treat today in our Living Single segment. Karen Folan, the author of Don't Bring Home a White Boy. Again, Karen, give us your web address.
It's KarenLanghornFolan.com.
All right. We thank you so much. And again, congratulations on the release of your book.
Thank you so much, Charvette. I've enjoyed talking with you.
All right. Thank you. All right, listeners, guess what? That is going to be a wrap. Oh, we have enjoyed you. Oh, my goodness, we've enjoyed you. Everyone that was in the chat room, you all kept the chat room jumping. Those that are listening on the phone lines, again, we say thank you so much for checking us out. You want to check back next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll bring you another phenomenal, outstanding show. You know the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence, and I'm sure something we said today either motivated you, excited you, or influenced you. Check me out online at www.mitchell-productions.com. Until we meet again, peace and